This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. A look back at last weekend, a boring 0-0. And a look forward to this one, Kilmarnock on Saturday, and the only time you've ever been excited to get dragged into town on a Sunday. We're joined by the manager and player of the month, plus Nicky Lowe on what it means to win a cup. The rest of the weekend's action covered in full too, including Highland League, Peterhead, the English Premier and squash between now and seven. The best preview you need starts right here, right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
But first, as always, to Pataudry and Manager of the Month, Derek McInnes.
I got wind of it last week and I didn't want to preempt anything ahead of the cup final. So, I think any award is just recognition of how well the team's doing. So, obviously I'm picking it up, but it's a case of, you know, like everyone else, everybody working extremely hard behind the scenes, the staff and the players at the minute. There's a lot coming our way and a lot to deal with, so February was a good month for us, as the award suggests. Hopefully we can have a good March. We started all right in March, a good April and a strong finish in May.
And whilst we're about it, here's the player of the month too.
It's been brilliant, obviously one of the best weeks of my career. These are the things you dream of, growing up to win a cup final, and it's obviously been a great occasion. City's buzzing, it's a great reward for all the support we've had so far this season, and hopefully it's only the beginning though. We have to make sure we use this now to kick on, get focused back on the league now with a tough game coming up, so we're all back to work and focusing on the Kilmarnock game.
It's 6 minutes after six. Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway. We'll come on to last week's events in just a moment, but if I can single out the star performance so far as I was concerned. It's Frank and Stricken.
You know, I was chatting to a pal of mine, a lassie who plays tennis, not interested in football, and she said that she'd been wondering why Aberdeen fans were singing about that 60s folk group Peter, Paul and Mary.
Brilliant.
It still makes the hair in the back of my neck standing in.
Well,
I was in that sea of voices. That was Dave Galloway. You and I are the ones that are slightly off key there, Dave. I
think off key as he was.
Not that it matters now, but not a great game, Dave. And I suspect any chance of what we've become used to watching this season disappeared with the late withdrawal of Peter Pollitt and the substitution of Johnny Hayes only a few minutes into the match.
I don't remember too much about the game at all. I remember us saying, because the occasion was so emotional from start to finish, you know, before we started the display, I mean, fair play to the guys, absolutely awesome. And that was another hair standing in your neck time. And great that reaction from the footage from behind in the Inverness crowd, you know, their reaction to the Aberdeen banner.
Crikey.
There was some colourful language there as well.
Right.
Why can't we not do that? It was the way that they contrasted that by suddenly turning round and panning their own supporters, the Inverness Cali fans, and there was like two guys waving flags.
But
you know, is there sellotape on that, or is it just old paper?
All right.
Fair play to it. But the game itself, instantly forgettable. Not that many cup finals are anything other than that. But the occasion, absolutely mind-blowing. The whole day, in fact, you know, from our trip down, we went to the Horn, which was absolutely... It was a queue to get in at... back, what was it, half eight we were there, something like that. So just the whole day from start to finish was quite remarkable.
I wrote about this earlier on in the week because I was in Edinburgh on Saturday night. We travelled through to Glasgow. If you ever go into a game, I always get really, really nervy. So I'm there like 4 hours in advance most of the time. And we got into Glasgow, and at the bus station, the moment you got off a bus in Glasgow, there were just red and white scarves everywhere. Occasionally you'd see an Inverness Cali thistle scarf, but for the majority of the time, it was Don scarves, and it was everywhere that you went.
I saw somebody saying it was our Seville, it was our Manchester. The difference is we won.
Yeah, and we behaved ourselves as well.
Yeah, well, we did for the most part, as far as I can tell. Looking back, one of the things that entertained me most was a crowd getting used to singing
Championes. Some of them for the first time, and others who, well, we hadn't sung it in 20 years.
Yeah, no, the whole day was just fantastic. It was a long, long day, but my goodness, it was really worth it.
Can I just ask, did you, I saw your son had posted on Facebook that you thought you were the curse.
No, he thought I was the curse. The rest of the family do.
I thought I was the curse.
I'm saying no.
Anyway, monkey off our back, as I believe, a phrase you've used on many occasions. Now, didn't come without a cost, though. We'll get on to the game tomorrow in just a moment. But Peter Pollitt's still out for at least tomorrow. Johnny for at least 6 weeks, which is worrying because he made a bullet, Johnny. It shows just how serious it is. Have we established exactly what the injury is now?
It is a collarbone. So he was first to admit he was so fired up. It was Josh Meekings, the Inverness player. No guilt apportioned to him. It was just Johnny just went flying in because, as I say, he was so fired up and paid the consequences. Peter's probably away on his UK tour now anyway, isn't he?
He's going to be back in action quicker than Johnny, I'd imagine. Not tomorrow, but next week?
Hopefully. Well, it's a busy time, of course. Yeah, next couple of weeks, we've got midweek games. Yeah. So
probably not for the Ross County game either, wouldn't have thought, maybe.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
But Dingle on Tuesday night. Hooray!
Yeah, not tomorrow anyway, but...
Dundee United next Saturday, is it?
Yeah. Dundee United next Saturday, yes.
So, Peter...
And then Hearts away.
Yeah. Peter, Paulett, maybe.
Maybe.
There is a danger, and I know we all feel it in the pits of our stomachs, that given the celebration, both before the match tomorrow, Johnny and Peter scheduled to take the cup out to meet the fans for a kickoff, I understand, and then the parade the following day, that focus on the match against Kilmarnock fades somewhat, but on the game, here to reassure you, Derek McInnes.
It'll be interesting to see exactly what the crowd is on Saturday. You know, I think there's a lot of us looking with interest to see exactly what kind of crowd we get. There's no surprise, you know, a lot of teams up and down the year, in the last few years when been in a cup final have always took that huge support, a bigger support, but none as big as what we've took in the last wee while. So it would be nice to get a few extra thousand in on the door every next season. And I think how we possibly finish this campaign would help get a few more season tickets sold, which can only be good for us going forward. The players deserve a lot of credit. Each challenge that's came up, whatever tournament it's been in, whether it's been the Cups or in the league, we've shown a real consistency, which for me bodes well. It suggests that they've got that concentration of the job in hand. You know, obviously the Cups are... that knockout thing, it's you're in it or out it, there's a wee bit more room for error in the league, but at this stage of the season with so many clubs in and around the fight for European spots, we don't have much room for poor results. You know, we've got to try and go the full way, try and finish the season as strong as we've started it. I think if we show the same consistency of results as we have done up until now in the league, then I think that we can look back and we'll finish in a position we'll be very proud of. So that is a challenge for the boys and my staff and myself. We'll keep sending that message home.
And is that message hitting home? Adam Rooney again.
The gaffer's on it all the time about just taking the next game as it comes and taking each game. So we know coming in today that we have to just focus, forget about what we've done now. Use that as a bit of belief in the squad and see that the hard work pays off and we can achieve great things, but we just have to make sure we're back to normal, treat the next game as much respect as we treat the last one. We have a lot of tough games coming up in the league now. We want to finish second. We want to do as well as we can. We're there at the minute. So we have to make sure we keep going to each game and working as hard as we can to get the 3 points. So we're going to have a tough game now coming up against Kilmarnock and we have to make sure everyone's on the game. We could see the support we had down there. We had 40-odd thousand. We could have probably sold close to 50 if we had the tickets, which is incredible support for the club. They were great in the semi-final against St Johnstone. They showed up in the numbers again. Hopefully we can get even them crowds back here again. I think the 10's gone up here on average this season and hopefully that can keep building. I'm sure if we keep working hard and achieving good things for the club, then we can reward the fans.
Focus, focus, focus. Hopefully any nerves you may have calmed somewhat by the words of both Adam Rooney and Derek McInnes. It's back to league duty tomorrow. One cup win and another semi-final to come. Both in the back burner for the time being. Tomorrow it's Kilmarnock. If you'd like to watch it all unfold for free with a pal, here's how. Just get into the draw for a pair of tickets by answering this question correctly. Who scored the penalty which won the Scottish League Cup for the Dons last weekend? Which player scored the decisive penalty for the Dons last Sunday afternoon. I beg your pardon?
That's too difficult, that.
Yeah. Our number is Aberdeen 400 969 01 224 400 969 to call and win.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Aberdeen versus Kilmarnock tomorrow afternoon on a party weekend for the Dons, but one man intent on spoiling it is Kilmarnock's manager Alan Johnson. He doesn't think Derek McInnes' men will have lost any of their focus, though.
Sure, Derek McInnes won't let that happen. He'll have them right up for it and make sure there's, that they carry on the performances that they have of late, and we've just got to make sure that we make it difficult and try and quieten the crowd.
Now, one of the star performers of last weekend stepped up and slotted home one of the all-important penalties after having more playing time than he probably ever expected in advance of the game. Chatting here to Red TV's Mal Panton for North Sun One's Friday Sport, it's Aberdeen's Nicky Lowe.
It was a great day for everyone involved, for the club and stuff, but I've got a massive game on Saturday for a race for second place, so we're all focused on that, and the manager's made sure we stayed focused for Saturday.
What's the manager said to you? Because it's quite a job he's got trying to get his all back down again.
Yeah, obviously we're professionals and we know we've got a game on Saturday, so obviously we enjoyed ourselves on the Sunday and stuff, and obviously Monday was good, but the gaffer said focus on come on Saturday, it's going to be a massive game, so in training we've just been focusing on the game on Saturday.
Look back at Sunday, it's obviously a great day for yourself. What is your memories of it?
I'm not got much memories actually, to be honest, but
was it a blur, the whole thing, or not?
Yeah, I can't remember when I scored the penalty and stuff. I watched back in the videos, my hands getting the fans going, but I can't remember doing that and stuff when the ball hit the back of the net. As adrenaline was running high, and obviously just delighted that Adam managed to keep his cool and scored the winning penalty.
Obviously Saturday, I mean it won't be an easy game. Kilmarnock fancy their chances coming up here, so
yeah, I think they'll see it as we've obviously had a good cup, and maybe they think we'll take the eye off the ball and stuff, and they're fighting for their lives down at the bottom, and no game in this league is easy, and we've never took a game lightly. We take it, as the gaffer said, one game at a time, and that's no different now, so it's a massive game and we'll be ready when it comes Saturday, and hopefully we can get 3 points for the fans again.
Played a far larger part than he'd have expected to in Sunday past, but it took it all in his stride, including an all-important penalty. It's in moments like that that history is defined, and that could be a huge moment in Nicky's career, Dave, given injuries, probably likely to start tomorrow, do you think?
Possibly. He'll certainly be involved one way or the other, no doubt about that. And Nicky's come on leaps and bounds, and the one thing with Nicky, he just slots in 110%, a young guy with absolutely no problems in terms of telling some of his more experienced colleagues if he feels that they're not given 100%.
Doesn't seem to have any nerves either, you know.
No, took his penalty. I mean, I remember thinking, my goodness, it's an awful short run-up.
I was thinking that as well, you know, don't do anything fancy.
In comparison to Barry Robson, who was sort of back at the halfway thing. Line.
Well,
yeah.
I think he was almost out the ground. Barry.
I'm surprised he could run that far, given how long he played.
In fact, I was just saying off-air today, if the penalties were absolutely fantastically taken.
That's actually, you know, in the situations where we've been in penalties this season, that's actually been a hallmark.
Yeah, and as the manager said, it's not a lottery. You practice on them, you work on them, and as I say, Nicky took his penalty like a veteran, and there was never any doubt that wasn't going past Dean Brill, and boy, he enjoyed it as well.
I will never forget ever the image of Nicky just pumping his fists and just rallying the crowd afterwards. It was just sheer adrenaline. And then he said afterwards, I don't remember doing that. Brilliant.
Of course, the thing with taking 40,000 fans to a cup final is that by the very nature of that statement of intent, the Boo Boys are lining up to hammer you on the downside when there is one, and the crowd for the next game isn't anywhere near that. Bearing in mind, we can house just about half of that anyway. I'm not obviously sure if anyone would make the round trip from a man for Aberdeen, Kilmarnock in the league. But all that being said, I know everyone at the club is hoping for a good turnout tomorrow to cheer on our heroes as they return home, which is as good a time as any to bring on the topic. But let me mention this first. You'll either have seen there or photos afterwards the display at Park Red last Sunday, which was, and we've mentioned it already, utterly fantastic.
Magnificent.
I mean, personally, I thought I missed a sunburst, but what can you do? No, it was absolutely fantastic. I was blown away by it. And there's a plan afoot for tomorrow as well. This is from Stephen McCormack, who asks, is there any chance you can plug the display in the RDS for this Saturday's game versus Kilmarnock? It's a homecoming display for the League Cup champions. We need helpers in the RDS at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. It'll only take 2 to 3 hours. Perfect Saturday morning, then a pint at lunchtime, back in for the game.
I'm up for that.
You're working.
If only I was allowed out that early. We also need fans to fill the RDS, so maybe you guys could word something to get fans involved in the actual display as it happens. Any help would be greatly appreciated, of course. So if you're walking up tomorrow, the RDS is the place to be if you want to be a part of that display and really show off once again that we have the best fans in the world. If you want to help set up 9 a.m. at the RDS, and if you want to be involved, the RDS, that stand to be tomorrow afternoon ahead of kickoff. So now, on to the topic started by Mez 1999 and entitled Pittodrie Atmosphere. Craig Brown talks about it, now our manager and players are talking about it. As you know, we've had two previous campaigns for the Merkelin stand to be a dedicated singing section / vocal home. Knocked back. This season, it would really have come into its own, especially with crowds not being the greatest still in the Merkeland. I know DST survey results will be out soon about the matchday experience, but surely now's the time to make this a reality. We've proven time and again that organised fan-led ideas, displays, singing sections have worked, so let's hope we can get this in place next season. Other SPL clubs are looking at standing sections and singing sections, so we should too. Fans would really enjoy attending games in an end where they knew it was going to be a good atmosphere and they could add as much colour week in, week out to get behind the Dons. Apologies for sounding like a stuck record, but when your manager's talking about it a lot, then it's time to act. Stand free. As always, Dave's got your thoughts on the topic as it continued.
Sheds Red, first up. Derek said a few weeks ago he was open to any suggestions to help improve the home atmosphere, including singing sections. To date, no one has gone forward to him with a suggestion. Merkeland stand to be the party stand. Family stand moved to the RDS so kids can utilise the concourse area, especially in the bitter winter months. It's not rocket science. From Meadowbank Red, forget the Merkeland if you want to try and create a better atmosphere. Get your loudest, rowdiest fans in the south next to the away end. However, clubs taking up poor supports will always have an effect on what atmosphere can be created. Singing, abuse, etc. has to go back and forth, which won't happen if there are only a couple of hundred punters who have bothered to turn up. Back to Mez. I'm with Sheds Red. The Merkeland has a low roof and would generate the most noise of any stand we have. From Scott Vernon's Heed, I completely agree with this, Mez. kids and families in the RDS and Merkeland to be our shed, so to speak. I'm certain this would attract many local fans who prioritise away games and would improve the atmosphere no end. Can't see the club changing their stance on the Merkeland, says Red Ross. The reasons they gave will still be the same. However, with Derek on board, trying to do something should be possible. South Stand or RDS Upper. Rico S321, Merkeland or Manor above the tunnel, if they can't do that. Reckon the club will maintain its stance on the family section. The lower RDS won't be given up for kids whilst the upper is closed either, as it's the only decent stand. Aliel says Merkeland would be ideal. However, moving the kids and families to RDS is a no-go as they would decide on season ticket prices, as I think there's a bit of a difference in the pricing. From Milne AFC, instead of aiming for a stand, why not just target one section? I'd suggest the narrow strip between Section Y, or as Rico said, above the tunnel in the main stand. Further to that, why not have a definitive
easy for
list
you to
of
say,
names
yeah.
and go down and buy season tickets in one go? Stand Free 92, in terms of creating atmosphere, I think the best option is the Merkeland. Surely there could be a family bit in the south or RDS lower. I could be wrong, but do we really need a family section? We should be given at least one game before the end of the season to show the club how it could improve the atmosphere. From a Caddy Car Handle, if the family stand was in the Dick Donald lower and the price was less than it is right now for that area, the club could surely recoup the revenue from an increase in Merkeland prices. Forest Hill says families should be the RDS lower, the singing should be in the Merkey, but that got knocked back, did it not? There's no point in the RDS upper as noise is lost there as well. From Eurovirgin, kids in the Merkeland are currently right next to Section Y of the South, where fans often stand and can be rowdy for big games. Acton Sheep says away fans to the bottom end of the Manor, where we used to put visiting European crowds, and the current away section to be our standing area, sea of noise, stroke, wall of colour, etc., etc. First thing the teams see when they come out should be us, loud and in numbers, not a few hundred hardy visitors. From Panda, surely the way things are going won't be long till the upper deck is reopened on a permanent basis. They trialled a singing section up there before, but it had it in a corner where it was unpopular. With no season tickets to move, makes sense to try a standing section in the middle two sections. And finally, from 05 Car, surely some of the takeaways from last weekend are, one, we're not the Sweetie Rustlers no more. Two, a stadium design helps. The bigger bowl is built with good acoustics for keeping the noise in, whereas at Pittodrie it dissipates. This needs addressed. Noise, displays, atmosphere is how we get more of the 43k through the door. Three, having the atmosphere helps the team. So if the priority of the club is to put an attractive product on the field, which helps out getting bums in seats, generating cash, two and three, which is, of course, a new stadium and atmosphere helping the team, are critical to the future success of the club.
OK. If you'd like to get involved, then do. Our topics and polls are online from around midweek onwards in any given week. You'll find them at Aberdeen Mad. And then hear some of your chat on the show at the weekend, right here on North Someone's Friday Sport. On to the poll in a second. A couple of those points saying, you know, sort of move them into the Merklin stand. Has it been looked at before?
It has been looked at before. Somebody said the Merklin's not very busy. It's going to be, there's no seats to be had tomorrow in the Merklin.
Because they put 1,400 tickets.
There's an offer on. But, it's one of these things that the club will constantly be looking at, and the sooner we can get into a new stadium, the better.
Because you can start from scratch and you can
really make it as you want it to be.
I think underneath the cameras in the south stand. That's my own personal view, because I remember when there used to be a singing section of sorts there back in the 80s. A lot of fans used to sit under there, and there was a cracking atmosphere there.
There was a point made there, and I think Craig Brown made it last season, was that the first thing that players see as they come out of the tunnel is whoever's visiting.
It's on my tour script. That and the fact that one of the assistant referees has to run the gauntlet of away fans for 90 minutes.
Exactly right.
Much better if both of them are running the gauntlet of our fans for 90 minutes.
Correct.
Precisely. And whilst we're about this, let's get the poll on as well, which this week is about Shea Logan and called Secure Logan, which sort of makes him sound like the president. Secure Logan, POTUS is safe. Repeat, POTUS is safe.
God bless America.
Should Aberdeen move to sign Shea Logan on a permanent deal? Should Aberdeen move to sign Shea Logan on a permanent deal? And the results are in, Dave.
Yes, 96.5%, no, 3.5%.
Very briefly, are you in the 96.5?
I am, yes.
I am, definitely.
Red Ross adds, I think it's a non-starter as he's got young kids in London and wants a club near them. Mercenary Git says, has there been any media discussion about keeping Logan, or is this speculative? I'd love to see it. Maybe Sunday would give him cause to consider. I thought his missus came up to Aberdeen with him. Dolly Longstaff, very happy if we could keep him. There may be impediments in his private life, I don't know, but he was willing to come here for a few months when he could presumably have been picking up a similar wage living down south. I'd be surprised if he's not enjoying his time here, and his body language during the post-match celebration on Sunday suggested a guy who has quickly established good relationships with his teammates. Plus, there's a question of whether a club of similar stature down south would be interested. My guess is we'd have a decent chance of persuading him to come if we try. Ill. Hector's opened up contract talks with Reading, so doubt we'll see him back. As far as Logan goes, I'd try and sign him up. And finally to Oban Red, who says, man of the match on Sunday, in my opinion, sign him up. P.S. Only got my voice back today, and that comment was typed. That comment was typed yesterday.
I did have a sore throat for a few days, I must say.
It's the singing, Dave. If you're going to do it both days on the weekend, it's going to be a problem.
Well, I can't sing.
You're not wrong.
Have we spotted that? Anyway, good work, Oban Red. Would you try to tempt Shea Logan on a permanent deal, or is it all academic and a non-starter?
I don't know. I think it's something that will be discussed. Personally, yes, I would. One thing about Shea that we mentioned in commentary, how he was really struggling with cramp.
Yeah.
But did you see the speed he moved when Adam put that penalty away? You know, he was part of the ones that came
up.
All of a sudden, it just shows you the adrenaline took over once again. But yeah, I would certainly sign him.
On to the match tomorrow. It's predicted Derek time. These are the 11 men who you think will start for the Dons against Kilmarnock tomorrow afternoon. Dave the Elder, Dave McDermott, we'll start with you.
I'm going for Langfield, the aforementioned Logan, Anderson, Reynolds, Considine, Smith, Flood, Robson, Jack, McGinn, Rooney.
And Dave Galloway.
That sounds pretty much like what I've got. Langfield, then a back four, Logan, Anderson, Reynolds and Considine, Jack and Flood sitting, then Robson, Smith and McGinn, and then Rooney up front.
OK, and a scoreline. Oh, now let's do the one to watch, first of all. The man who will potentially make the difference to the result for the Dons. The one to watch, Dave Galloway.
Rooney, for me, he will have been on cloud nine since last Sunday. He might have come down as far as cloud 8.5. And I back him to continue the hot form that he's in.
I was going to go for Rooney as well, but I'll go for Cammy Smith, who I thought ran his self into the ground on Sunday. And also in the previous home game here, had a fantastic game. I think he was a bit unlucky not to start. He almost did start because he was on very, very quickly. But yep. I think Cammy Smith, if he can keep up the form he's been showing recently, he could be the difference.
And finally, a scoreline for the match, Aberdeen versus Kilmarnock. Any chance of slip-ups, do you think, given the nature of the last week and the weekend to come?
Yeah, there is every chance of a slip-up, but I don't, you know, and it's almost set up. But as I was speaking to Boonson today, the video analyst, and
Boonson.
You always laugh.
Is there a story behind that name?
There is, later. which, of course...
Can't broadcast it.
If he's called Boonson, it should be later, isn't it? No, he's not. No. We're just talking about the fact that, you know, what a difference. If you finish second in the league, that is the one that gets you the you know, in terms of getting started a bit later. So in terms of the next season, you know, so compared to third. So it's a huge incentive because it's going to be a short break for the players, it's looking like, without tempting fate over the summer. Mm. And the players will be wanting to make it as long as they possibly can. So I think the incentive of finishing second in the league, and you look at it, is very close, but we're level with Motherwell, but we've played a game less, we've got a far better goal difference, so that's almost like a point
much better
ahead of them with that. So, and I think it is, the way things are going, it is looking between us and Motherwell, unless there's a slip up on either case. So I'm going to, you asked for the score, didn't you? About 10 minutes ago, I'm getting as bad as shiny here. I'm going to go for
not quite
maybe, no thank you I'm going to go for 1-0
1-0 Aberdeen.
Yes.
I think Kilmarnock and Ross County might be quite sticky, actually, in terms of results, but we'll see. Your scoreline, Dave?
I don't think it'll be easy by any stretch of the imagination. Kilmarnock have got some useful players, youngsters and veterans. I take Aberdeen, though, to win 2-0.
You're North Shore's Friday Sport, the official station of the Dons. Just a quick word on Sunday for the parade. All the details you need for that in terms of road restrictions and timings and bus diversions, everything like that, online via our Facebook page. We'd love to see you there if you're going along, because we're going to be at the event. But if you can't be for whatever reason, both Dave G and myself, as well as Finlay Duncan and Joe Odber and Jeff Dyke, we're going to be live at various stages along the route, bringing you all the colour of the event as it happens. That colour mostly red and white, I'd imagine, including chat from the team and manager as they arrive at the Castlegate, hopefully, for the civic reception live in Northam on Sunday afternoon. Here, heroes, here. You're on Northam 1's Friday Sport. It's Aberdeen v Killy tomorrow. If you'd like to be there with a pal, answer this question, please. Who scored the penalty which won the Scottish League Cup for the Dons last weekend? Which player scored that decisive penalty for Aberdeen last Sunday afternoon? Our number is Aberdeen 400 969. 01224 400 969 to call and win. Good luck. Now, stay with us directly ahead. The rest of the Scottish Premiership with the Blue Toon, Highland League and more on Friday Sport from Northam 1.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoor and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
In the other Scottish Premiership games this weekend, the first match kicks off in just over an hour at Tynecastle when Hearts host Dundee United. For Hearts, a familiar tone and soundbite, but this week from Brad Mackay.
We know how difficult the task has become now, but obviously the boys aren't going to stop trying. I'm not going to sit and tell you that, because that's never going to happen. How things have went this season, the mood around the dressing room has not changed. We've always gave it 100% this season, and we'll never stop trying to the end.
Dundee United's Jackie McNamara has a sympathy for tonight's host, but determined to inflict further pain and an away win.
Each game's the same. They've got that back in their fans, and they want to see them, you know, win games and do as well as they can and go down fighting, which they have done all season. But from our point of view, it's another crucial 3 points that we need.
So Celtic against St Mirren in just a second after Hearts versus Dundee United, Dave.
Hearts, Dundee United. Hearts will fight, they'll battle like they've done all season, but I can't see anything other than a decisive victory for Dundee United, who appear to be heading back towards their best. I'll go for 3-1 Dundee United.
Celtic welcomes St Mirren as boss Neil Lennon moves quickly to Scotch rumours linking Celtic with Manchester United striker Federico Majeda.
We've been aware of his availability over the previous transfer windows, but we've not pursued that.
What's his name?
Majeda.
Thank you very much. The other Lennon, meanwhile, fully aware of what awaits.
Is there any good time to get Celtic? I mean, they're unbeaten at home this season, and we look forward to that challenge. They've had another fantastic campaign, and I've got the huge amount of respect for Lenny and, you know, his staff and his players.
The Battle of the Lennons, Dave, Celtic versus St Mirren, how's it going to go?
I think a 3-0 home win for Neil Lennon.
And from the Battle of the Lennons to the Battle of the Jags, when Inverness Caledonian Thistle host Partick, Yogi wants all she.
They're a good side. They should have beat us the last time I was doing it at Partick. They should have beat us for a couple at least. We were poor that night. I think it was my second game in. They were a good side. Recruited very well in the window. Very well. And, you know, they'll be playing with confidence.
Playing with confidence. Alan Archibald knows all about playing well, but losing, and he can empathise with it.
He looked a bit similar to us earlier on the season because he played some good stuff and never got any rewards from it. And then they get done in the sucker punch, and Motherwell broke away and scored a couple of good goals. So, no, I know what they're going through. So it's important then that we do go and start well, start the match really well.
Partick Thistle and Inverness Caledonian Thistle, Dave.
Yeah, I think Inverness, it's something like 480-odd minutes since they've last scored a goal.
Where's Andrew Shiny when you need him?
I know, he would know exactly down to the millisecond.
Yeah, we've got Andrew on the line now.
I'm going to go for a 2-0 away win.
A 2-0 away win. Motherwell are back at Fir Park to take on Ross County. Stuart McCall expects player Sean Hutchinson to move on in the summer, but not to Rangers. Speculation for such a move coming from out of the blue, either.
I saw that, yeah. Well, the lads were giving him a bit of stick about it, but it's news to Sean. I think it's news to myself, if I'm honest. I've discussed probably players in the last 2 years with Coyste in that, and I've got to say Hutch's name's never come up, so now it's news to me.
Yeah, perhaps Coyste doesn't know about it either. Anything is possible at Rangers these days. Ross County's Derek Adams happy to have Melvin Deleu available once again at the business end of the season.
He's done really well for us. He's got outstanding ability. You know, he's missed a number of games this season through injury, and that's been disappointing. But, you know, he's got nearly 90 minutes of a game the other night.
Motherwell against Ross County. Dave?
Should be a good game, actually. Motherwell to win for me, 2-0.
Simple. Here's one that's interesting. Ross County moving out of that relegation playoff spot with a victory over St Johnstone midweek, who are making things difficult for themselves so far as cementing a top six finish is concerned. Tomorrow, Saints face Hibs, and Marty Davidson knows how pivotal a match it could be in their league campaign.
It's probably our biggest game of the season. There's no motivation needed for tomorrow. You know, I think if we beat Hibs, put them out the picture for the top six, you know, a couple of our teams still can make it, but it's a huge game. For us, so probably the easiest way, but not being the other thing, all the lads know how important it is.
Hibs Terry Butcher looking to take the things his players work on during the week into the game at the weekend.
I've got a good reaction. I mean, they train very well. It's about taking that onto the pitch then. You can have a lot of good trainers, but whether they then do well on the Saturday is another issue. So, you know, we're aiming to get both. We're aiming to train well and then play well on Saturday.
St Johnstone versus Hibs, finally, Dave.
I'm going to go for a share there, which probably won't help either side. And so, 2-2.
Okay, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. More in just a second.
North Sound 1, with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
And amidst all the cup celebrations in Aberdeen, a few miles up the road at Balmoor, the champagne must be just about on ice too. Peter Head now with a double points cushion ahead of nearest rivals Annan Athletic, who they visit tomorrow. Boss Jim McAnally.
Well, 11 points clear, obviously. They've got a game in hand, and I think it's my job, obviously, to always go with a worst case scenario that Annan are quite capable of winning all their games. And, you know, with that in mind, we've got to assume that we need to win another four games, and that's exactly what we'll set out to do. I mean, obviously, we'll set out to win every game that we're playing, you know, also, but to know that you can achieve your target by winning four games is what we will really, you know, focus on doing. And, you know, we realise that your lead, 11 points, can quickly be whittled down again. So we always bear that in mind.
In the Highland League, second place Nairn County simply looking to stay in touch at the top behind Brora, with a win on the road in Inverness against Clach tomorrow. Deverin Vale host Lossiemouth. Fraserburgh meet for Marty United, fresh off the back of a 10-0 victory over Huntly. From Marty manager Steve Patterson.
We've played so well the last three or four games that the confidence is high, and I do believe that the work rate will be maintained. And so, you know, I've got to be looking forward to the game after, you know, an exceptional result the other night, because, to be quite honest, I really didn't see that. I thought, you know, I felt we should win the game, but you can't expect to maybe win maybe by a couple of goals and be content with that. But to you know, a 10-0 scoreline, you know, I mean, I've been a manager now for about over 25 years, and it's the first time I've had that scoreline, so, you know, it was quite enjoyable.
Huntly hoping to keep things down to less than double figures when they meet Bucky Thistle. Harlow Park, the venue for Inverurie Locos against Bottomside Fort William. Wick Academy travel to Keith. Leaders Brora are at Rothes. Strathspey Thistle host Forest Mechanics. Tariff United in the final game welcome Cove in the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, it's all PMAC Group League action starting tonight. Just down the road, Banksiddy taking on Hall Russell United in the Super League kick-off 7:45. As far as tomorrow's concerned, Cooter at home to FC Stonywood. East End go to Deverin's side. Dicer at home to Bankery. Ellen United entertain Stonehaven. Longside travel to Hermes. New Elgin against Maud in the First Division East. It's Buckenhaven Hearts versus Cruden Bay. Glentanner there at Fraserburgh United. Newmacker United take on Bridge of Don Thistle. Parkvale against Colney Park, and Sunnybank against Lewes United in the First Division West. Bucky Rovers entertain Inverness City. Falkirkburghs travel to Dufftown. Nairn St Ninian host Burghead Thistle. And finally at Pinefield Elgin, it's Port Gordon Victoria against Isle of Vale.
In England, Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger celebrates a landmark achievement at Chelsea as the race for the Premier League title continues this weekend. There are other challenges at the top, take on sides currently involved in an equally tight battle to avoid relegation. George Alderman reports for North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
Wenger will be looking to celebrate his 1,000th game in charge with a famous victory at Stamford Bridge. He's never previously beaten a team managed by Jose Mourinho. The Frenchman says there's no margin for error as they look to maintain their push for the title.
It is the game of the season for us. It's as simple as that, because we are in a period where every point is vital now, especially against your direct opponents. It is for us the most important game of the season now.
Fellow challengers Liverpool go to second bottom Cardiff, while Manchester City take on Fulham, who are propping up the table. Crystal Palace and West Brom both have the chance to move 6 points clear of the relegation places, with wins over Newcastle and Hull respectively. To do it, they'd also need Sunderland, who are third from bottom, to slip up against fellow strugglers Norwich. After coming back to progress in the Champions League in midweek, Manchester United return to top flight action in the late game at West Ham. A victory would keep their hopes of qualifying for European football next season alive. Manager David Moyes is determined they maintain some momentum following the triumph over Olympiacos in Europe.
We go into them now, as I said before, there's no guarantee that, you know, one result definitely leads to another, but you'd rather have a good result than a bad result, and we got a really good result in midweek, so hopefully we can build on that.
Everton could move up to fifth by beating Swansea on Saturday, but Tottenham would go back above them if they managed to overcome Southampton on Sunday lunchtime. The weekend's actions then brought to a close by two teams who probably feel they've just about done enough to avoid the drop, as Aston Villa entertain Stoke.
Squash briefly, and Peter Nicol back in action this weekend against five other all-time greats in Jonathan Power, John White, David Palmer, Thierry Longcou and Lee Beechel this weekend at Aberdeen Squash Rackets Club and the Exodus Legends of Squash event. Peter Nicol in action tomorrow. Our competition this week asked who scored the decisive penalty for the Dons to bring the League Cup north. It was, of course, Adam Rooney. Well done to Therese Sim. We'll see you at the game tomorrow. And as far as weekend coverage is concerned, Dave?
Yeah, Jim is for Martin and Fraserburgh's game. Of course, we are down at the Dons against Kilmarnock. Full commentary on Red TV. And remember, you can still get Stephen Glassy's bike, afcheritage.org. Have a great weekend.